Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Lord Terry's Power Hour, our show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour coming at you tonight, live from Eastern Pennsylvania. And I'm joined tonight by my special guest hostess, my lady, my love, my partner, Robin. How are you?
I've been better. I sound like a frog tonight. But it really is me, folks. I got a little bit of a sinus infection going on.
Yeah, and you don't sound as bad outside as you do probably hearing yourself inside. You don't sound sound as bad as you think you do. But anyway, we're just excited. We've been talking about getting this Fool's Journey started, and we had the hiccups with last week. So here we are tonight, getting it started, and we got a good crowd with us tonight. The chat room's well populated, so I'm looking forward to an exciting show tonight. I do want to let people know that we will be taking calls a little bit later in the show, and you can call in at 646-564-9714 and ask us questions, because we're going to be discussing the Fool's Journey from the major arcana of the tarot, starting with the Fool and taking it all the way through to the World. The culmination of the 22 cards, and I would like, Robin, if you would, well, actually, first we should probably start by talking about some of our adventures lately, because we did have a comment in the chat room about Horn and Honey, mm-hmm. And let's see.
We had a great time.
Yeah, it was a blast. We got to do some workshops. Well, Thursday night we had some people come in, come on the show and talked with us about the, about how the show, the weekend had gone for them. Mm-hmm. And it was an exciting time. It was bonfires and drums and the workshops, Murphy's Midnight Rounders. Mm-hmm. It was truly a good time.
Yeah, so It really was awesome, and the people were amazing, and the commitment to their community out there is just something to be admired.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot for, you know, along with that property.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. The property, to see the pictures of the before and afters with all of the garbage piled up in the quarry and, you know, the bare rock and just there was nothing there hardly, and then now it's lush and green, and they covered the rock with sand and they got rid of all the garbage, and that's only been in less than a year that they've had the place. Just ultimately amazing that they've been able to take it that far, and it just goes to talk to how dedicated the people are there to getting that land organized and off the ground and to be a place where their community can gather in a friendly and safe atmosphere. And they do a lot of things there. They have events almost every week all summer long. They have some family events. They have some adult events. They have some that are sort of in between. They have a homesteading event. They have all kinds of really interesting stuff going on there at Midian. So if you get a chance, I wholeheartedly suggest that you definitely check out the Midian website and see all the stuff that they're doing there. And if you live anywhere in that area, please reach out to them and get involved and help out. They're great people.
Yeah, well, it's over in southeast Indiana.
Yeah, all I know is that it's 12 hours from here, which is too far for us to go every week.
Yeah, we're not... Yeah, we certainly can't go over as often as we would like.
Yeah, unfortunately. I would love to, but it is an inspiration to want to make a community like that here, where we're closer to where we live. There appears to be some sound issues. If anybody needs to call in, that number is 646-564-9714. And that that way you can hear the show at least. That doesn't give you access to the chat room.
For those that are hearing it in other ways, mm-hmm. there are there's any number of ways that this is going out. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what's going on with BTR, but it's obviously going out on the air. There are people. You know, they're calling in on the phones now that are starting to get in and listen. So,
okay,
we're just going to keep going forward, and all of the people that are out there listening through all of the other means, and those of you that are listening in the archives, we're glad you're here. Now, we're going to start. We'll talk about the Fool's Journey for a moment, please. Darwin, if you would.
Well, the Fool is obviously often considered the first card of the major arcana, and in a lot of ways, one of the ways I was taught to learn the major arcana cards is for the Fool to actually walk through the cards and sort of be introduced and to look at those cards through the Fool's eyes. Now, the Fool himself is the leap of faith. He is the ever optimist. It's all going to be okay. We're just going to forge ahead and go around the next curve, and everything's going to be just fine. And so, sometimes walking the tarot deck as the Fool, as the optimist, is a really wonderful point of view. I have found it has served me very well over the years. And there's a great book, and I don't recall the author's name, just the title of the book, Journey Through the Tarot. Living the Tarot is another great one that looks at the tarot deck as a living thing and the Fool walking through each card and how he relates to those cards. A really well-written book. It's an older book. And as I said, I cannot off the top of my head remember the author.
I have always loved a book, and I think it's sitting over there at the house right now. You should probably be able to find it and put your hands on it. It's called Learning the Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the author's name. It's, I think her last name is, it's Joan Bunny. And I have found that to be a great book. And she's got a whole chapter on the Fool's Journey as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Navasi quite a big book. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Navasi just typed in Living the Tarot by Amber Gianti, which is the book. I know that I loaned that book to someone recently, and I cannot remember who, and I know I admonished them about returning it. So I thought maybe it was Niv, and she was like, nope, looked it up. But I'm sure it'll come home when it's ready.
All right.
So anyway, so the Fool, he stands sort of on the precipice, the cliff. You know, that's the imagery on the card, right? He's standing on the path along the cliff with his little dog. And the dog, in my mind, is also the symbol of... Excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
The dog
is the symbol.
The dog is the symbol of, you know, the optimist, because dogs will love you no matter what you do. And they're always there to greet you. They're always faithful at your feet, at your heel, follow you anywhere. And that is part of the Fool. You know, he will back you up wherever you want to go. Sure, you want to go over there, let's go over there. And it is, you know, it's about the dog being ever present, the optimism being ever present, the support being there for the Fool, even though he may take a wrong turn at times or take a leap of faith that he shouldn't, the dog will go with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I always like the image of the Fool with the stick and his little bundle tied to the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the summation of his total worldly possession.
The hobo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the traveler, the hobo, like you said, total innocence, total beginning. You know, it is, you know, the Fool is, you know, spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arms flung out, the dog kind of nipping at his heels, and, you know, just oblivious. I mean, it's not like he's stepping off the cliff in some leap of faith. He's stepping off the cliff because he's not even aware it's there.
Maybe that's how you see it. Yeah, that's not how I have ever seen it. I think he knows it's there. I think he makes that conscious choice to leap anyway.
Yeah.
His faith and trust,
okay.
and everything. Everything the optimist would have. I'll be fine. It'll all be fine.
Yeah, you see the optimist. I see the innocent.
Hmm.
I see an innocent, unaware, completely, completely ill prepared in so many ways for what is about to, you know, for this adventure, and it's through the journey. Through the visiting all of the different mysteries of life and all the human archetypes that are experienced through the journey. That's where the growth takes place.
Because, you know, although I feel that the tarot is the Fool does journey through the tarot, The Fool is always untouched by his experiences. He remains the ever optimist because that is his role. That would be, you know, it's like if you're the evil queen in a fairy tale, you're always going to be the evil queen, no matter whether you, you know, make mistakes, and you know you don't learn from your mistakes. And maybe that's maybe that's part of what you're talking about as far as his innocence, or naivete that he just doesn't learn from his mistakes. He just keeps being the ever optimist. He will always give people the benefit of the doubt. He will always take that leap of faith when it is required. And, you know, he doesn't shy away from that. But that's my take on it. That's my take on it.
All right. Well, let's look at a different take on it. And I'm not changing the meaning of the card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because certainly the Fool card is the, you know, ever the optimist. And it demonstrates when it shows up in a reading, it's speaking to that kind of, you know, beginning, spontaneity, innocence, optimism, always trusting. But when I think of the Fool's journey, I don't think of the Fool so much as taking the journey as me taking the journey. And when I use the Fool's journey as a way of looking at myself, of experiencing those mysteries, and taking each in turn as the journey progresses, I am changed. While the Fool card may never change, those of us that take the journey, that walk the path of the Fool, we can use that as a means of self-discovery and personal growth. And so when I think of the Fool's journey, I think of me, from my own experiences, how I have used the Fool's journey in the past to learn about myself, to certainly learn about the tarot. But by using the Fool's journey and learning in that way, each one of those cards somehow is subtly different than the book meaning because there's experiences attached to them. And there's growth and discovery and learning about myself and about others and about the world that all comes from allowing myself to take that journey. What do you think about that?
Well, whenever you're acquainting yourself with a tarot deck or for that matter getting a reading, you know, the reading is based on what you need. And, you know, let's not confuse the person doing the reading or the person who is requesting the reading with the meanings and the symbolism of the cards. You want to keep that kind of straight in your mind. Now, the other thing that the Fool, you know, in my mind can signify is the beginning of a journey, whether it's a personal improvement journey or a physical trip you're going to take or a new path in your life that you're going to, you know, ramble down, you know, going back to school or, I don't know, getting a divorce or, I mean, it can be any kind of journey. So it doesn't necessarily have to embody just a Fool's leap or a leap of faith. Although certainly if you're contemplating any of those things, those major life changes, that card is telling you to take that leap, have the confidence that you are doing the right thing and take that leap. And that's, you know, again, that goes back to that very structured symbolism of the Rider-Waite Tarot, which is why I no longer use it. We discussed that previously. I use the soul cards, which really don't have any set meanings, and it's all intuitive. But neither here nor there. I certainly spent a lot of time studying the Rider-Waite over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, my experiences with the cards are shaped by my discoveries about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to, of course, shape my understanding of the card and the meaning that it has for me when it turns up in a reading. I may not be following exactly along the book.
Are you talking about a reading?
That I'm getting. I'm talking about if I do a reading for someone else. But, you know, my understanding of the card and the message that the card brings to me is unique to me because of my experiences and my time using the cards and mm-hmm. using the Fool's Journey for study, meditation, and self-discovery.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I actually one of the things when I take on students who wanna learn tarot, as I tell them, you know, each major arcana card requires a meditation, and you're going to write some notes about what you got in your meditation, and you're going to keep that, and that's going to be the beginning of your notebook on your deck. And we talked once before about the fact that I always recommend that people start with the Rider-Waite tarot deck, mainly because the symbolism in that deck is so common to so many different things. You can walk into any Masonic lodge, pretty much, and look on the wall, and there will be pictures in there with things right out of the Rider-Waite tarot deck that you will recognize. Oh, there are the pillars of knowledge. Oh, you know, there's this, there's that. There's the Empress on her throne. If you want to be able to also have a good foundation in symbolism, occult symbolism, that's why we start with that deck.
Yeah, and the symbolism is kind of in your face too. You know, some of the other cards are a little more artistic. Sometimes it's going to lean more toward the understanding of the artist. Where the Rider-Waite's kind of in your face. I mean, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And so for learning, it is an excellent place because it gives us that foundation that we can use to carry ourselves forward. And anyone that, looks into additional decks or different decks, I still use my Rider-Waite deck. I haven't been drawn to, move to some other deck, and I probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at other decks, and they just don't speak to me. When one does, then I'll move along. But for right now, I'm still comfortable with the same Rider-Waite deck I bought for $7.95 and back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how long ago was it when when decks were under $10?
And you could still go in a store and ask them to see a deck and open a box and look at it. And it wasn't like attached to something or under plastic or,
Mm-hmm. And that is a problem with choosing a deck these days. We talked about this the last time this topic came up. But it's very difficult sometimes to even hold the deck and to feel it, to see all of the cards, to look at it, to, get any idea of whether or not you're going to be drawn to this. Much like the Fool's Journey, you're taking a leap of faith when you buy a deck.
Mm-hmm.
And
if it doesn't work.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work for you, then here's this deck that doesn't really do anything for you that you end up passing along and. Hopefully you are the vehicle by which it makes it to your right hand.
Yeah. One of the things also that I just wanted to quickly touch on is oftentimes I've heard that your first tarot deck should be gifted to you. You should never purchase your own deck. And, there's some superstitions to why that should be. But I think that's, if that's what you believe, then obviously do that, but I don't think it's necessary. I think if you want to go out and buy yourself a tarot deck, you should go out and buy yourself a deck.
Yeah, I agree. I don't subscribe to a lot of the superstitions about the decks.
Yeah.
Or the tarot in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead. We're at 25 minutes after the hour.
Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and take our break? And when we come back, we will be opening up the phone and taking calls for anybody that wants to call in and join the show, ask us any questions. You can call in at 646-564-9714 and hit the one key on your keypad, and that will send up a little flag to let us know you want to talk with us on the air. And otherwise, you can just call in and listen, which is a perfectly legitimate way of listening when you're away from the computer. Maybe you're driving somewhere out running errands, and you can always just call in and listen. So anyway, with all of that said, we're going to go ahead and listen to Cauldron Born by Darv the Bard, and we'll be back here in a few minutes. Stick around. Thanks for being with us.
See how the land is bathed in silver hue. You feel so lonely. Come with me and let me show there are others just like you who feel the powers of earth, sea, and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. Hear the call of our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this dark and cold, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. See a man alone on a hill, his arms raised high. A spell of power, a witch's rune. He calls to the powers of earth, sea, and sky, of dragon and fairy and shades of the night. He calls to his ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. He said when he was just 17, your future I'll tell you, every thread and turn is there to be seen. She took his hands, tracing the lines, searching for patterns and looking for signs. Your life a construction, one day you will see. Through the illusion and into the dream. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm. Your carrot wins children, the cauldron born. So we stand on this hill, our shadows are cast by the moon. Chanting words, our charm, our spell of power, our witch's rune. We call to the powers of earth, sea and sky, of dragon and fairy in shades of the night. We call to our ancestors of blood and bone, of womb and tomb and standing stone. Lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. Oh lady, stir your cauldron well, chant your words and sing your spell. Deep within this darkened hall, hear the goddess Ceridwen call. Come and taste of the cauldron's brew and magic she will give to you. You will dance in the eye of the storm, your Ceridwen's children, the cauldron born. You're the cauldron born, cauldron born. We're the cauldron born, cauldron born. We're the cauldron
one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour. And I'm joined tonight by my lady, Robin. How are you, darling?
Hi, honey. How are you?
All righty.
I'm sitting in my living room, hot and sweaty and cranky and fevery, but I'm here.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here with us. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, the Fool's Journey. We're kind of introducing the topic, and we talked about the Fool card. And I had mentioned something about using the Fool's Journey as a means of self-discovery and learning, not just learning the tarot, but learning about ourselves as we take this journey and experience all of these mysteries and experience these different human archetypes. And I had said something to you in the screen room during the break, and you'd you had some stuff that you wanted to talk about that you had that you mentioned. I wanted you to say all of that on the air about the Fool's Journey itself.
Oh, no, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you said that you agreed with me about it being about using it for for self-discovery.
Self-discovery, right, yeah. Well, I always recommend students to dedicate a notebook, sit down and meditate on each card and learn the lessons that each card has to teach us. With the Fool, for example, a lot of people have trouble identifying themselves with the Fool and being in the Fool's place of taking a leap of faith and trusting and knowing that it'll be okay and being able to let go of everything they know, everything, in the forebrain, and go with their gut, go with their intuition, just take the leap. So, that's a hard lesson for some people to learn. There are people who are just so analytically minded, they just can't do that. There's just no way. They're going to just put everything that they rationally know aside and take a leap, But it is very instructive to, try to bring that into your life if you're one of those people. Because, you're always seeking balance. And so that's a way to do that. And then, there are little exercises that you can do with, yourself and with other people to sort of facilitate your bringing that sort of energy into your daily life. Try something that you have absolutely no experience with. If you've never eaten sushi, just go to a sushi bar, take a leap of faith, eat some sushi.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You'll be like, no, I'm not eating that again. Maybe you drop a few bucks and that's it. But so maybe that card is instructive in that way, is to just take a chance, do something unusual, and reconnect with also the fun of that, the lightness of that, so that not everything is a rational, metered out decision. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow, take that leap, and have a good time with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the hardest things, and you commented on this, for people to do is to let go of ego, intellect, everything they think they know. And, they walk around with this full cup of knowledge. And until we can dump that cup and allow it to be refilled with new learning, the wisest man in the world is the one who understands that he knows nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the questioning that we learn. And until we can put aside our preconceived notions about the world, there is no growth, there is no learning. And the Fool reminds us. Well, the Fool isn't an idiot. The Fool isn't the does foolish things kind of character that the word has so much attached to. There's a lot of baggage with the word fool.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fool in the tarot is not the fool or the idiot or the clown you know, the untrainable, but is rather that empty canvas on which to, you know, create a new,
mm-hmm.
you know, a new understanding.
Yeah.
And if we clean the slate, go ahead.
One of the things I remember, there's a quote attributed to one of the medieval kings, probably somebody like King Henry VIII, but I'm not sure that that was who said it, but he said, "The fool is the wisest man in the kingdom." And you have to kind of think about that. And I think probably from the king's standpoint, you know, the fool is attending court. He gets to hear everything. And he seems innocuous. And so people will say things in front of the fool they might not say. They'll be, you know, sort of duped into letting their guard down and sharing things they might not normally share. So oftentimes the fool has a lot of knowledge, but what he chooses to act upon is different. And you can see that, this fool archetype played out currently in the Game of Thrones with Peter Dinklage's character. I don't even know what you call a short person. What's the politically correct term these days? I don't even know. I can't keep up with it. Little person, short person. Yeah. You know, and they have made him the heroic, ever optimistic, you know, bad boy, fool. And he does sometimes impulsive things that, you know, in the moment seem good, but maybe not so good in the long run, like, you know, shooting his father, you know, maybe not the best of his decisions, but you know, he did it, and he's owning it and going forward with it. So I just wanted to point that out because, you know, people are so into Game of Thrones these days, and right there is sort of an analogy for the fool card.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. So over the next, oh, good grief, 21 more cards, we are going to take this journey. And we're going to look at each of the cards in turn. We're going to look at the lessons the same way we're talking about the lessons to be learned from the Fool card. We're going to take this journey. And I'm going to take this journey yet again, and I'm going to experience the major arcana through the Fool's journey, and we invite you to come along with us and look at these energies, look at these mysteries, consider them with us as we take this journey. Approximately one card every 2 weeks. So, you know, clearly we will be into, you know, 2016 when we finish this journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's worthy of doing. It's a lot of fun. And you will certainly have a better understanding of the tarot on the other end of it. And
mm-hmm.
hopefully a little better understanding of yourself.
I was going to say we could even give suggestions for exercises for people to do with the cards. You know, if we want to, we're sort of plotting this out on air, obviously, folks. I know, you know, we talked about doing a meditation on each card, and one of the things I often will tell my students is to take the card and put it on their altar and look at it every day. And every day when you look at it, sometimes you'll notice something different about the symbolism in the card that you didn't notice yesterday. And there might be a reason why you noticed that particular symbolism today and didn't notice it yesterday. And you might want to jot down, you know, every morning for the next 2 weeks, let's say, if you're going to choose to do this, what symbols in the card, you know, sort of jumped out at you today, what spoke to you. And then keep track of your day and how it went and see if that applies in any way. It can be an interesting exercise, and it helps you get to know the symbolism in the card and figure out what it's going to mean to you.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds like an excellent plan. And let's see. So 2 weeks from tonight, we will be discussing The Magician.
Mm-hmm. As above, so below.
And we're not going to talk any more about The Magician tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to let you know that that will be the card that is the first encounter that the fool has on his journey.
Mm-hmm.
So be studying and thinking about The Magician, and we will be here 2 weeks from tonight discussing The Magician. And hopefully we'll get some callers, because this is not just a one-way conversation. This isn't just me and Robin talking at you guys. We do this together.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be expecting your input, whether
questions?
It's in the chat room or live on the air. Questions,
yep.
Comments.
Questions always good. You know, if you're
Oh, absolutely. And share your experiences and what's gone on in your world as you have studied this card. You know, each week or every 2 weeks as we do a card, you'll have an opportunity to, you know, share with others what you have learned from this card. And if you don't have a deck of cards, you can go to the internet, you know, there's only about 11 different sites that will have the pictures.
The pictures of the cards.
And the images.
Yep.
They'll have the pictures and the images of the cards that you can look at
mm-hmm.
and study. And that way you can still participate even if you don't have your own deck.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way you don't spend any money because... as I said, although the Rider-Waite deck, I think, is super important to be familiar with the symbolism in the deck, you don't necessarily need to own one if ultimately you're going to want to branch out and maybe find your way into a deck that might be more appealing to you. You know, sometimes artwork will appeal to you more from a different deck than another. Also, I recommend that if you do readings for the masses, for people, whether they are educated in what the tarot deck means or not, I tend to steer people away from the traditional decks based on the Rider-Waite, because a lot of people will see the Death card and they'll see the Tower card and they will get a little freaked out and the reading will get derailed because they'll be all panicked about, oh my God, it's the Death card! So, and that's, you know, but that's me.
Yeah, and I don't worry with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing readings for others with the Rider-Waite deck, and people say, well, I think I know what that means. And you're like, yeah, okay, well, you can think what you want, but here's the message I'm getting from it. And this
mm-hmm.
is what I'm supposed to be telling you. And... you know, and I go from there. But
well, you know,
I
agree.
I'm very lucky, so people are going to listen to me.
Yeah, I agree, but it sometimes will tend to take up a lot of time in the reading that you can spend otherwise actually giving the message, because people get hung up on it. And then sometimes, you know, I do a very intuitive reading. I'm drawing off the energy of the person that is sitting in front of me. I'm connecting to them energetically when I do readings. And so if they're distracted or upset by something, it makes my job harder. So, and that could be part of the approach being different too. So,
yeah, it could very well be. So, gosh, I guess we're 10 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess perhaps it is time that we start wrapping up. Let's see. Now, I did say that 2 weeks from tonight would be the Magician card. 3 weeks from tonight will be the full moon.
Yes.
And that will be on the 28th of July.
And that is the blue.
And then, yes, it is. So we'll still have a full moon ritual in July.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in there, we're going to need to do another Shabbat ritual somewhere around the first part of August. So we'll get all the schedule put together and give you guys some ideas. But remember, it's going to be approximately every 2 weeks. There will be the occasional time where it'll be it'll be a 3 week break because of a Sabbath or something like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 weeks from tonight, the magician card. So find the image and study it. And we will be talking about these images from the Rider-Waite images. So if you look at some obscure deck that has very different art and you want to talk about it, you can certainly share your experience, but we're going to be talking from the Rider-Waite images because those are the basic images and the easiest to learn and to a good place to start.
Yeah, and let me spell that for people because we're saying Rider-Waite like everybody in the world knows how it's spelt. And it's Rider-Waite. That's how it's spelled. So if you are looking it up on the internet, it makes it a little easier.
Absolutely.
Are we pretty much done?
I think so. I think it's time to start telling people how to find us and all that kind of coolness.
Okay.
Did you have more you wanted to add?
No, I'm good. I'm actually just reading stuff that people are posting in the chat room. Oh, and there's something that somebody just posted card meanings, the links. Don't read them. Work on the meanings yourself and then go and read the meanings if you want to, but I
study the image for a while.
Yeah, I prefer to connect with the card yourself. Jot down your own feelings about the card, and then go back and look at the meanings if you want to. But the most important thing is to connect to the card yourself and know what it means to you. So.
Right, because any form of divination. Let me go ahead and focus that. Any form of divination is an agreed-upon language that spirit uses to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you study that card and you agree with spirit that that's what this card means, then that's what that card means to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message that you're getting from spirit when you see that card. It doesn't matter what somebody else's book says or what the traditional meaning is.
Mm-hmm.
All of those traditional kind of feelings are going to come through in the symbolism. So as you look at it, you're going to get to the core of it. But there are going to be subtle differences in what that card means to you.
Right.
In your agreed... Right. In your agreed language with spirit. So... Don't get hung up on what somebody else wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was something else I was going to say. Now I can't remember what it was. But I'm sure it'll pop back and
show you. Sorry, I derailed you.
That's okay. No biggie. The last thing here is if anybody needs to get a hold of us for any reason, you can reach Terry and I at thelittlestonebridge@gmail.com email address. Also, you can reach us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook. What were you going to say?
Well, you said the Little Stone Bridge email address, so people might think you're actually saying the Little Stone Bridge.
Oh, and no, it's the email littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And let's see, if you want to contact the radio station, if you were interested in getting hold of a guest or a host for the radio station, or you had something that you wanted to tell one of us that you either love us, hate us, or somewhere in between, You can send that email to surn.org@gmail.com. So that's surn.org@gmail.com. And then there are the Facebook pages.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's also a place you can send questions for Thursday night.
Yep, absolutely.
Because occasionally on Thursday night we have guests. Like this coming Thursday night, we're going to have Brad Murphy of Murphy's Midnight Rounders.
That's right. I'm looking forward
coming
to that.
On the show and talking with us. But most of the time, Thursday night is Robin and I doing questions and answers. So we take questions and find a theme from all the questions that are sent in. So if you want to send in a question, send it to surn.org@gmail.com. So I apologize for interrupting, but I wanted to throw that part in there.
No. You're much better doing this stuff than I am. You should just do it.
I don't remember
to do all the stuff.
Well, all right then. You can also
I was cranky and sweaty.
Yeah. Yes, you are. And the Facebook page for the radio station is Spiritual Unity Radio Network. On Facebook, you can also find the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.org on the internet. And let's see. Oh, and Afterthought has a question for us about physics and it's a purely philosophical question, and
no, they don't.
You know, I don't know. I think maybe it would shine my headlights in my own eyes. I'm not quite sure. No, maybe the photons would leave this fast enough for me to run through them, and then I would
basically be shining
at the
speed
my headlights
of light
in my
and
eyes.
Yeah, if you're traveling at the speed of light and your headlights are out in front of you, they will be ahead of you. So, well, if I'm driving, that's true, Niv, but they will be out ahead of you, so they will always be traveling just ahead of you. So they really probably wouldn't do anything. You probably couldn't see them.
Yes, but could someone else see them as you approach?
Probably.
Or would they see the headlights and then you'd be in your grill at about the same time? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, light.
We'll have to dig up Einstein to answer that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, ponder, you know, things to ponder. So, right after thought, thank you for our ponderance of the night. Let's see, I think that's about it. You can get in touch with my lady on Facebook, Robin A. McKean, is her friends page. And you can find me on Facebook. I'm Terry Power. Still shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania, I believe. Or you can find my public figure page at @LoveTerryPowerHP. Or follow me on Facebook. I mean, follow me on Twitter at @LoveTerryPowerHP. So I think that's about it. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. Thanks for sticking with us through the technical difficulties. Come up from time to time, Blog Talk Radio being what it is. So,
yeah, and if you did miss any part of the show, hopefully the download will be available in a few minutes. You can go back and listen to it.
Yeah. All of our shows are archived, and they are available approximately 5 minutes after we end the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, thanks to everyone who's listening live, everyone who's listening in the archives, everyone that participated in the chat room, and if you're not in the chat room, you're really missing a good part of the show. You know,
all
like
the characters who show up in our chat room are just awesome.
Afterthoughts, ponderances for the night.
It's
always
absolutely.
A good time.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good time. We love you guys. We're honored that you share your time with us.
So
stick around. We'll be back a week from tonight with more fun and excitement. Thursday night we will have I'm Brad Murphy of Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and do you have a topic yet for Friday night?
Friday night? Nope. I guess I should get on that.
All right. Whatever it is,
I'll put my head
Robin
together
and
Lisa will come up with something.
Yeah, it'll be a great show. They always do. They always have a great time, and share it with you guys. And of course, on Sunday nights is it's not the variety show anymore. It's Sacred Divergence Radio with Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton. So let's see. I think that's about it. Any final thoughts or final words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Not really, other than just, you know, tell people about our ramblings here if you like us. And if you don't like us, tell them that you listen to some other radio show. I'm just kidding. No,
and
I just want to thank everybody for showing up week in and week out.
And if we piss off a bunch of people, then they'll still listen in to see if we can piss them off as bad next week. So it's all good.
Well, that's true. Maybe we should start trying to piss people off. I'm good at that, apparently.
Well, I tried that for a while, and I got on a soapbox and would rant and rave, and people would cheer. And it was like, no, you're supposed to get mad. You know, so I've taken a different approach for a while. I'll probably get back on my soapbox here sometime soon. And maybe we'll talk about George Orwell next week.
Oh, boy, yeah. There's a topic.
So, anyway, thanks again.
After Fox just said that if we have a show where we're trying to piss people off, he'll be calling in.
All right.
All righty.
We love you guys. Have a great week. And I hope that your week is filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.